I felt like the Lord been dealing my heart about this thing, and I was kind of thinking about Thanksgiving, and I guess really, of all the holidays we have, Thanksgiving is about the most scriptural. There's a lot more scripture in the Bible for days of Thanksgiving than there are, you know, the other holidays that we, you know, sometimes celebrate or observe. And I believe in it. I don't believe you ought to just be thankful one day a year. But every day. But sometimes it don't hurt to have a special time set aside. We do that when we're wanting something from God. We'll get down, we'll pray, "Oh Lord, would you give me this? Would you give me that?" I don't believe there'd be nothing wrong with having a special time and just thanking Him. Just thanking Him. And as you think about Thanksgiving, you see in Colossians chapter 3, and I'll have to hurry to get this morning, so you pray for us. Look at Colossians 3 and verse 15. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." That's only one of many, many places in the Bible where God tells us that we ought to be thankful. One of the signs of the last days, I believe, is that people will be unthankful. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us they'll be unthankful and unholy. They won't appreciate what all God's done for them. They don't appreciate what people do for them. And one of the signs of heathenism and paganism coming into our country and land is that the average American is so ungrateful and unthankful for what God and others have done for them. There's a lot of things we ought to be thankful for this morning. And brother, it seemed like, have you ever noticed it seemed like the people who have the most to be thankful for are usually the least thankful? You take somebody out here that ain't hardly got nothing, and about they'll find something to be thankful for. You take people that got blessed, got about anything they want, and nice clothes, nice car, nice house, and sometimes they'll gripe from daylight till dark about how pitiful they are and what they ain't got. And instead of griping about what we don't have, what I'd like for us to do is be thankful for what we do have. And brother, I believe that that's one of the surest signs of the depravity of the human heart, is that God can be so good to us and we're unthankful for what He's done. I want to preach to you on some things we ought to be thankful for. Some things we ought to be thankful for. First thing I want to say is we ought to be thankful to live here in America. We ought to be thankful and proud to be an American. Americans are the most spoiled, biggest brats on the face of this earth, I reckon. And they're spoiled because God has been so good to us. A few years ago, when Brother Page and myself and Earl Real, we went to Haiti, and I was over there and we was just meeting the people, and I was going to churches and preaching and people, you wouldn't believe the situation those people live in from day to day. A lot of them don't have any clothes except the clothes on their back. They have diseases. They're we had a wreck, you know, that day. And the wreck car, the guy that was driving us wrecked and liked to hurt one boy real bad. And we smashed right into another car. I know we was going to wreck if he didn't slow that thing down. They drive like I do sometimes when I'm in a hurry. But I tell you, brother, I kept saying, "We're going to wreck. We're going to wreck." Sure enough, we did wreck. And tore that car all to pieces. We had to take one boy to the emergency room. And we went in that emergency room, and our animal shelters here looked better than the emergency room did in that hospital in Port-au-Prince, the capital of Haiti. As far as I know, that's the capital. And brother, I saw those little kids walking around, their stomachs swelled out way out here, where they had no food and no place to sleep. If you want to start an orphanage there, all you'd have to do is just go out and round up and say, "Hey, you, come here." "Yeah, you." And y'all, you'd have 50 kids by a couple of hours to just take home with you and live and take them and feed them and clothe them. Boy, I've never been so glad to leave a place in my life. Man, I got back to, we got touched down in Charlotte at the airport. Man, I thought, man, I am glad to see American soil. They said that our boys that were in the war got down and kissed the ground. They were so happy to get back to America. And I think we ought to tell all of our so-called socialistic citizens in America who are flag burners and who hate our countries, what they stand for, and hate our government, and you know, the Jane Fonda type crowd who says we don't like the government of America and want to make this a communist nation. I think we ought to just take them up a little love offering and buy them a one-way ticket wherever they want to go. Listen, if America is such a terrible place, wonder why they still want to live here. I want to tell you something, brother. We ought to be thankful for living in this nation. We better be thankful for what God has done for us. Did you hear about that hippie? That he and his girlfriend were, they were going down to the, to have a demonstration. And they were going down to demonstrate at the federal building against the rotten establishment for not giving them more, you know. And so the hippie to his girlfriend, he said, I'll go pick up my unemployment checks. Then I'll go over to the university to get my check for my grant that should be coming in. You go by and get the food stamps and be sure and go by the free clinic and get your pregnancy test because, well, you know how me and you are. And I'll go get my free glasses at the health center and go by the welfare to see if I can get them to increase what they're giving us every month. And I'll meet you at 5 o'clock down to the federal building to protest against this rotten establishment that you and I live in. Now, do you know, brother, in some countries, if you don't work, you don't eat. And in some countries, you still work, you don't eat much. We ought to be thankful for living in America. We ought to be so thankful that old Columbus come over here, brother, and in 1620 the Mayflower sailed, 102 passengers, and they came over here and they got it. Now, they'll never tell you kids this at high school, but they came over here for religious freedom. And the reason they won't tell you that at school because the people who trained them in the colleges don't want you to know that. They're trying to take God and the Bible out of our nation. Those pilgrims came over here on the Mayflower, and they came over here for religious freedom. And brother, they set up churches and read this book, 1620, 1700, 1750. This old book preached up and down these hills and mountains. And God is what made our nation what it is this morning. And somebody said that America is great because it is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. I'm thankful this morning that God's let me be born here in America where I could hear the truth. Ain't you? I mean, what God will let you live over yonder where somebody worships Buddha or maybe somewhere where worship false gods. You didn't have a chance to come and hear the Bible and you didn't have a chance to drive up and down these roads and come to churches. If you live here in McDowell County, you ought to be ashamed of yourself if you're not a regular churchgoer. You ought to be ashamed. You know why? Because there are people all over this world that would drive 100 miles just to get in what you're in this morning. They'd drive 100 miles every Sunday and never think anything about it. And brother, the people of McDowell County is going to have a lot to answer for one day at the judgment when they said no to God and drove by the churches on Sunday after God's been good to us and give us all the great churches that He has. We ought to be thankful for living in America. But I want to move on right quickly this morning. I want to say some other things we ought to be thankful for and something that I personally am thankful for. I am thankful this morning and we ought to be thankful for the grace of God. Amen. You meant just a higher, brother. The grace of God. We ought to be thankful this morning, brother, for the grace of God Almighty. Do you know what grace is? Haven't you ever heard the song Amazing Grace? Raise your hand. Everybody in here has heard it. Do you know what grace is? Grace, brother, is something. Let me give you definitions that great men have given for grace. Dr. R.E. Neighbor said grace is the immeasurable and unmerited favor of God. Old Charles Spurgeon said grace is something that in God, which is at the heart of all His redeeming activities. John Calvin said, grace is the pure liberality of God Almighty. I like what C.I. Scofield said the best, where he said, grace is the unmerited, unrecompensed favor of God. Grace is something that God does for us that we cannot, could not, and could ever do for ourselves. I want you to know, you're looking at one old boy this morning that's thankful for the grace of God. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I could be in hell this morning. I used to ride up and down these roads right out there, man, just like some of y'all. Boy, I've told you many, many times before, me and them boys, we'd go flying. I remember going around over there towards the Moose Lodge, and I'd go around them curves like this. If I'd have met a car on the wrong side of the road, it'd have killed me just like that. Boy, I thought about that a lot of times. And man, we used to go steal drink bottles down to the store and hang out the window and just pow, bust people's mailbox and hit stop sign, and you'd feel the glass coming back and bouncing in the car. Now, I was a crazy nut for doing something like that. But when I was 16, 17, that's what I done. And you know, I thought about that. And I thought, well, sure, what'll happen to me? I'll get killed in a car wreck or something terrible will happen to me and I'll go to hell. But you know what? You know what? You know what? Old Danny Castle started to say old brother Danny, but he wasn't brother Danny then. He was just old sinner Danny. You know what happened to him? He came to me, brother. He came to me. And God shed his grace on me. I didn't deserve to get saved. I didn't deserve to walk out. But God Almighty let Holy Ghost conviction come in my soul. And brother, I got up and walked down the aisle. He done something for me I could not do for myself. That's what grace is. You listening? That we ought to be thankful for the grace of God. A lock closes by itself, but without a key. So the sinner gets into the sin by himself, but he can't get out without grace. I want you to know God's grace is wonderful. You want me to tell you what grace is? There's an old boy going down to the riverbank to commit suicide one day. And one night he said, I had it. I'm sick of this old world. Goodbye. I'm checking out. And so he goes down to the river. And he's going to take a gun or something and kill himself. And while he's down there at the river, he's looking around and he hears some people singing. And boy, he hears some people singing off over there and sees a little old bitty light off out yonder, a little old house. And he said, I'm going to check and see what that is. So he walks over here and he liked the way that sounded. And he walked a little closer and he walked a little closer. And it was some Christians meeting in a house. And brother, he kind of peeked in. The preacher got up, and if I got the story right, the preacher got up and told that story about the Philippian jailer who was going to do himself in. And Paul said, do thyself no harm. And boy, when he heard that, that's grace, brother. That's grace. That God can reach a man out on the riverbank about ready to kill himself. And the old boy said, do thyself no harm. Man outside there going to commit suicide. And boy, when he heard that message or something, as the story went, he came in and got saved and lived a happy life. That is the grace of God. You folks, hey, all y'all that raised your hand, you that stood up and said you're visitors. Now, you may think something tough, and you may think, boy, I'm this and I'm that. You want me to tell you how come you're not in hell this morning? You're not in hell burning this morning because of the grace of God. If it wasn't for God being so good to us, everybody in this church and everybody at McDowell High and everybody at Eastville and Baxter and Cross Mill and everybody in the Senate and in the Congress and Representative and all the movie stars and the singers on TV, every one of them be in hell if it wasn't for the grace of God. I realize that I'm nothing and you're nothing, and if we got what we deserved, can anybody in here raise your hand and say you don't deserve to go to hell? Anybody? Can you stand up and say, not me, I'm perfect. I don't deserve to go to hell. I don't see any hands raised. You know why? Because down inside you, you do know you deserve to go to hell. Down inside you, you do know you don't deserve. You don't even deserve your food that you eat or the clothes that you wear. It's amazing how unthankful some people are. Heard about this little boy, and he's from a Christian family, and he went and stayed with these people that wasn't saved, and they had a meal set down there, and he wasn't going to eat. Asked the blessing. And he just sat there and waited on them. And when they got their food out, they just started eating. And that little old boy said, don't you ask a blessing around here before you eat? And they said, no. And he said, oh, you're just like my dog. You just start right in. Don't even look up and see where it come from. You say, you're calling me a dog? Do you say your blessing? I mean, we ought to be thankful for what God's done for us. Every bite of food that goes in that mouth of yours, and more of it goes than our mouths, most of us, than ought to be. But I tell you, brother, we ought to be thankful for that. We ought to be thankful. Did you know, listen, Longfellow can write a poem on a piece of paper and sell it for $6,000. That is the power of a genius. Rockefeller can sign his name on a piece of paper and make that piece of paper worth $1 million. That's the power of capital. Uncle Sam can stamp an eagle on a little old piece of gold and make it a $20 gold piece. That's the power of money and the government. A mechanic can take a $500 car, work on it a little while, and make a $5,000 car. That's a trade. An artist can take a canvas and take a little piece of canvas worth $5 and make a painting worth $10,000, and that's skill. All of those things are good. But you know what God can do? God can take an old drunk, he can take an old lying, cussing, hippie, hopping, pill popping, liquor drinking, wife beating reprobate, and make him into an honest, law abiding, clean cut, Bible reading, street preaching, soul winning deacon, brother. And that's grace. That's grace. That's what God can do. That's grace. That's grace. Nothing can ever do what grace can do. I want you to know, brother, that's what the grace of God is. If a man works, that's not grace. That's a earn, something that he earns. And brother, it'll never get the job done. But grace is something that God does for us that we cannot do for ourselves. Sometimes I get to feeling guilty because God's so good to us and we're good to Him. And I think about all the people out here around town that are lost, going to hell. And I think about how good God's been to us. And brother, He came to us and He saved us. How thankful we ought to be this morning because He saved us. You know what we're like, boys? We're like the rest of the world being in darkness and us being in light. We're like quick-sighted men around a bunch of blind people. We're like the light shining on the Hebrews when all Egypt was in darkness. We're like Gideon's fleece who had water come down on it while all the rest of the earth was dry. Brother, we ought to be thankful. We're like David who could lay down and sleep at night while Saul was tossing and turning and brother not able to go to sleep. We're like Daniel who pulled up a big old fat lion and made a pillar out of it and laid down and went to sleep in a lion's den while the king tossed and turned and turned his jam box up so loud, trying to put himself to sleep and pop pills and had him to fan him with plum branches and everything else trying to go to sleep. We are blessed of God. We ought to be thankful for His amazing grace. The grace of God is wonderful, you know it? The grace of God's what made me. I'm not much, but the grace of God what made me who I am today. If it wasn't for the grace of God, you'd never see me in church. I wouldn't be in church. I didn't like to go to church. You'd never seen me preach. It's the grace of God that's in me. I am what I am by His amazing grace. I talked to a boy yesterday, and this boy's almost destroyed by alcohol. And he's sitting there and he had a beer and he saw me and he tried to hide it. He put it down here and I talked to him and I said, man, you need to get saved. He said, I know it, Danny. I know it, Danny. I know it. It's killing me. I know it. Just a young man. And I said, you need to get saved. I said, the Lord can help you. And he said, yeah, I can. And boy, he said, you know what? I'm afraid I'm going to wait too late. I'm afraid I'm going to wait too late. And then he used some words and said, this will happen and that will happen. That old boy was scared. And boy, I looked there and saw him. And I looked at his face. I saw him. I don't know how old he was. He's probably younger than me. Man, he looked old. And boy, I saw what that liquor had done to him. And that sinful life had done to him. That alcohol had done to you. It'll kill you. See, a lot of kids get out and drink and think it's cute. But they don't look 10 years down the road what that stuff will do to you. And that old boy looked at me. And boy, all of a sudden I thought if it wasn't for the grace of God, that might be me sitting there. If it wasn't for the grace of God, brother, I could be out there in a mess like that. But I'm saved this morning, and I'm happy, and I'm sober, and I ain't got a hangover. I ain't got a hangover this morning. Y'all believe that? I mean, some of you probably, you might have one here this morning. And you might think, I ain't got a hangover. The law ain't looking for me that I know of. And brother, I'm on the way to heaven. Don't feel sorry for me. Hey, some people come to this church and they see me get up here and scream and holler and they say, phew, that poor guy. Don't ever feel sorry. Don't feel sorry for me, man. I'm somebody going somewhere. I've got a home in heaven. I've got a Bible I can believe in. I've got a God that hears when I pray. We come up here and prayed last night and talked to Him. Amen. He's alive. Amen. We talked to Him last night, didn't we, Brother Page? Amen, brother. We talked to God Almighty on this altar last night. Say, did you have to have an appointment? Nah, He's always in. Amen. You say, has you ever gone on vacation? Nope, He's been there every time I ever talked to Him.
And you have to go through the secretaries and talk to them on the machine. No, you walk right into the front office. By the grace of God, we ought to be thankful for His grace. I heard about an old boy one time. He's going to Bible college. And they told him at Bible college, his professor gave him all an assignment. And he said, now here's what I want you boys to do. You're going to do this, you're going to do that, you know. And he gave this boy here, he said, you are going to give the definition of grace. Come back Monday morning and give it to us. And so the man went home. He thought, man, that's hard. I've heard about a grace and sung Amazing Grace for years, but I never really tried to pinpoint it just exactly what grace is. So he went home. He went back to the farm. He went out there where his old daddy was out there working in the barn. First the story went, and he went out there and he said, Daddy, I've got something I got to do Sunday or Monday morning at class. He said, Daddy, he said, they want me to define the word grace. I don't know what it means. I know I've got it. I know it's real, but I don't really know how to define it. He said, Daddy, could you help me? And his daddy said, son, that's a hard word to define. But he said, I want to tell you something, son. The best verse I can think of and the best definition I can think of is the first verse of that old song, Amazing Grace. He said, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. And boy, I thought about that. And that old boy said, well, thank you, Dad. And into the kitchen, where his dear old mama was in there working. Her hands were wrinkled. She'd washed them dishes and cooked them meals and ironed them clothes for many, many, many years. He went in there and said, hi, Mom. She said, hi, son. How's school? He said, it's wonderful, Mom. But he said, Mom, I got something to help me with. He said, I got to define grace Monday morning at class. And I was wondering if you might could help me. Dad, give me his thoughts about it. What do you say? She said, son, the best thing I can think of to describe grace is that old song. The second verse was grace that taught my heart to fear and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. He said, thank you, Mom. I appreciate that. And boy, thought about that the rest of the weekend. And boy, thought about all the trouble his mom and daddy had had and how in growing up and the grace of God had kept him and then called him to preach and using him. He went back into class that morning. Come his time. The old professor looked out and he said, all right, son, are you ready to tell the class what the word grace means? That old boy stood up and he said, boy, he said, gentlemen, the only thing I can think of is the third verse of that song. Through many dangers, tolls, and snares, we have already come. His grace that's brought us safe thus far, and grace will lead us home. Time he got through saying that, that old professor was a crying, tears running down his face, and he said, all right, let's all stand and get the last one. And they all stood up and sang, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Hey, you're looking at somebody this morning that does not deserve to go to heaven. I do not deserve. I'm not even a religious person. Religion don't even appeal to me, brother. I don't see anybody can stand it, tell you the truth. But you know what I am, brother? I'm a saved sinner by the grace of Almighty God. He's done something for me I could never have done for myself. And I praise Him for it this morning. I'm glad. You know, it don't matter if you think I'm a fanatic or not. I'm just happy and in my right mind as I can be. And I'm telling you, brother, this morning, I'm thankful for the grace of God. And if you ain't, you're spaced out. That's your problem. You're out of reality, boy. You're in a fantasy world. You're all going like, wow, man, like cool, man. Like what's happening, man? Like you don't even know where your breath's coming from. God's giving you your breath. God's giving you your food. God, hey, let me ask you a question, big shot. Who kept your heart beating last night while you was asleep? You say, I'm a self-made man. Well, at least you own up to it. I want you to know something. I wouldn't tell nobody if I was you. Who kept your heart beating while you was asleep? Did you know that God had to look down there about every few seconds and say, beat? If He hadn't, of your heart quit and you'd have died. Did you know who's kept your heart beating since you've been in here this morning? God has. And if He says quit, she's going to quit. Oh, I'll run out here to the hospital and they'll shock me and they'll get her to going. No, they won't. If the Lord don't say be, it ain't gonna be. That's the grace of God. That is the grace of God. But let me say, lastly this morning, I could talk a lot about that, but the third thing and the last thing we ought to be thankful for is a chance to be saved. A chance to be saved. I don't know how many people they are in here this morning that's not saved. I don't know. I would guess. Just a rough guess, 25. Maybe more. There may be 50. There may be 100. I don't know. But I dare say this morning there's a lot of people in this room that are not saved. Oh, how thankful you ought to be for a chance to get saved. Do you know there's a lot of people that done died that ain't got a chance to get saved? They ain't got a chance to be saved. There's a lot of people that's in hell this morning who cannot ever be saved. You do get saved after you die. You get saved now or never. You get saved in this life or never. And the strange thing about it is that most people keep putting it off and keep putting it off and keep putting it off and keep putting it off. But let me say to you this morning, one of these days you will put it off for your last time. There's somebody here this morning. There's probably a bunch of people this morning that the only reason you're here is because somebody twisted your arm and kept calling you and kept aggravating you and bothering you and finally got you here. And you're thinking, well, when this is over with, I'll be out of here and I'll do what I want to. But you don't know. Listen. Do you realize that if we could open up that back wall back there this morning and, brother, we could look into hell and we could call a man out of hell and we'd say, come here, sir. And boy, he'd come up and you could smell the smoke all over him and you could smell the fire and the brimstone and all the things on him. And we said, sir, have you got anything to tell this crowd? If a man could stand right here in this pulpit, then to hell, you know what he'd say? He'd say, don't make the mistake that I made. Don't walk out those doors not saved and ready to meet Jesus. They said that there in Pennsylvania a long time ago, there's a man come arrived and warned them in the spring that the dam was going to break. And they didn't believe him. And he come back in the fall and warned them. And he come back in the summer and warned them. And they didn't believe him. And 3,700 people drowned in the great Johnstown flood because they did not believe that the danger was near. Now, I'm standing up here telling you this morning that somebody in here is in danger. Somebody in here is in trouble. Somebody in here may never hear another sermon. Somebody in here may be in hell before this day's over with. Somebody in here may never hear another gospel invitation. This may be your last chance. This may be somebody's last chance. You know, not God's blessed me with the opportunity of speaking to this many people. Now, I want you to know this morning that every one of you is going to die. Every one of you is going to face God. Every one of you is going to give an account. You say, well, I won't come back to your church. That ain't got nothing to do with it at all. You're still going to die. You're still going to face God. You're still going to give an account. Don't put it off another day. There's a girl went to a revival meeting one night. And when she was at the revival, she got under conviction. They started singing and she thought she ought to go to the altar and pray. And so she didn't. She went home and her mama said, honey, you ought to went to that altar and got saved. He said, mama, I'll do it tomorrow night. But she forgot she had a date the next night and supposed to went to some kind of place with a boy. That evening come, her mama said, honey, are you going to church like you promised? She said, no, not tonight. She said, but honey, you promised. You promised me last night that you'd go. And she said, not tonight, mama. We're going to the ball. She said, honey, you promised me and you told us that you was going to church. Now, you've got to go. She said, not tonight. Not tonight. And so she was up in her room getting ready. And they waited and waited and waited. And she never did come down, never did come down, never did come down, you know. And they were all waiting on her and they just thought it was taking her a long time to get ready. And they went upstairs and found her slumped over her dresser, a corpse. Where something had happened, something went wrong inside her head and her body. And she just fell over dead, just like that. And that young lady sat in a church, just like you're in this morning. And she had a chance to get saved. But she turned around and walked out. If you are not saved this morning, and you walk out those doors saying, I'm not ready, some other time, not today, preacher, let me tell you one of these other days, you are taking a gamble that no gambler in Las Vegas would take if he's in his right mind. Because what you're doing is gambling with your soul. And brother, when you lose that soul, you don't get it back and try it again. You may go to Las Vegas and gamble all your money away, come back here and make you some more money. But if you lose that soul, you'll never have another chance. Ever, 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 ever. I heard about a young man who went to church one night. The preacher preached and he gave an invitation. Said, whoever wants to come, get saved, come on down here. Let's pray. And that boy, kind of just standing back there, and the preacher, he said he felt a strange pull of the Lord to go back and speak to that boy. He's just a young boy and he got a girlfriend. And he went back and spoke to that boy and he said, son, wouldn't you like to come to the altar this tonight? And that boy looked at that preacher and said, preacher, I don't want to hear what you've got to say. Leave that stuff up. Keep it to yourself. I don't want your religion crammed down my throat. I'm here for one reason and one reason only. That's to pick up this girl. And after this thing's over, me and her are leaving. We're getting her out of here. I'm not interested in what you've got to say. And the preacher said, okay, it's now in your hands. And that preacher come back up here and around, walked up here where I'm standing and dismissed that service. That boy was mad because the preacher had embarrassed him, and he was the first one out the door that night in the little country church. And he's walked down the steps, and before he got outside where the porch light was shining on the ground, a drunk controlled the car and run across the church yard and flattened that boy out and killed him right there in front of the church. You say, preacher, does stuff like that really happen? You see, God's only going to wait on you so long. He
stuff and told that by the professors, only one that's dumb enough to believe stuff like that. Anybody with common sense knows there's a God. He said, that ain't going to work. Anybody else? Another little demon raised his hand. He said, yes, sir. That little demon said, Mr. Devil, let me go up there. I know what I'll tell him. And the devil said, what? And the little demon said, I know what I'll tell them. I'll tell them that there is a God and that He did create the world. By evolution, of course, but He did create it. And I'll tell them that there's a supreme being, but it's not the God of the Bible. And that there's no heaven, there's no hell, and the Bible's just not true. I'll tell them that. The devil said, that'll never work. People's the Bible's true. Deep down inside, you know that Bible's true. Way down inside of you, you know there's a hell. Deep down inside you, you know there's a heaven. That won't work. The third little demon raised his hand and said, Mr. Devil, let me go. He said, what are you going to tell him? He said, I'm going to go up there and I'm going to tell him that there is a God. I'm going to tell him there is a heaven. There is a hell. All the other demons went, what? He said, I'm going to tell him there's a hell. I'm going to tell him her word in that Bible is true. I'm going to tell them they ought to get saved. And all of them was looking at him. He said, but I'll tell them not to get saved today, to wait a while. And the devil said, that'll work. You go. And he got the job. And he's been coming up here and he's been visiting churches all of these many, many years. And he's in here this morning. You know what he's telling you? You know what he's telling you? He's up on your shoulder and he's saying, every word that preacher's saying is right. He's right. That's the truth. You ought to get saved. There's a hell. There's a heaven. What he's saying is right. But let's don't do it this morning. And he's going to keep telling you that and keep telling you that and keep telling you that. And you're gambling every time you say no to God. My friend, the Lord dealt with my heart about preaching to somebody this morning on waiting too late. Last night as we were praying, this thought came on my heart. Somebody in this church is going to wait too late if you don't get saved. Let's stand with our heads bowed. While the piano plays softly and slowly, every head bowed, every eye closed, no talking, no looking around. Somebody here this morning needs to get saved. They'll make plenty of room up here at the altar for you this morning if you need to come.
Is God dealing with your heart? I tell you what I want us to do. Christians, you pray right now. Somebody's going to wait too late if you're not real careful. I want to ask you a question this morning. Will you come? Thank the Lord. One's already coming. We need some ladies to pray. If you're here this morning, you need to get right with God. Just get out of your seat and come right now. Come on, just get out of your seat and come right now. Without any singing, we're going to pray in just a few minutes. Amen. Come on, come on, just get out of your seat and come. People are not looking. People are praying for you. If you came with somebody, they'll wait on you. It's a dangerous, dangerous thing. Some of you men, come over here and pray. It's a dangerous, dangerous thing, young man. Young lady, teenager. It's a dangerous thing. Let me ask you a question. Do you know if you drop dead before this day's over that you'd go to heaven? That's something you better be finding out real quick. Don't put it off. While she plays softly. Brother John, why don't you sing that first while people are praying?
Just
get out of your seat and come right now. Come on right now. Come on, Dad. Come on, Mom. Come on, don't be ashamed. Somebody will wait on you. Somebody will come pray with you. You ladies, come quickly. God's dealing with your heart. You need to come. That's right. Come on, glory to God. Amen. Somebody else. Come on. Don't wait too late, my friend. One of these days it'll be too late. It'll happen. It'll happen just like the Word of God said it would. Come on, somebody else. Come on. Right now. That's right. Keep coming. If you're back in the back, just get out of your seat. There'll be somebody here to pray with you. That's right. Amen. Somebody come pray with this young man. Some of you ladies come pray with this lady. God's dealing with your heart. God's dealing with your heart. Don't wait. Don't wait. Some of you ladies, please. God's dealing with your heart this morning. It'll be too late one of these days, friend. You ought to be thankful for a chance to be saved. Be thankful for a chance to get saved. Young man, you ought to be thankful for a privilege of giving life to God. Will you do it? Will you do it? Will you do it right quickly? While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I want you to just, everyone just hum this verse with Brother John as he sings.
Just as
we'll wait a few seconds, we're going to pray.
Am.